Thank you very much, Dan. That's right. I am here in studio with the chairman of the Abington Select Board, and that's Alex Haggerty. And you have agreed to come here today and tell me about something that's very personal to you and something that probably has affected more people than we know about, and something that you did, which I consider very brave in your effort to help people who have been a victim of the same kind of abuse, and that's what I'm going to call it. And that is revenge porn. This was something that we had done quite a few stories on when Charlie Baker was still in office, and covered some of the roundtable discussions, and they had some of the victims speak about some of the things that they had to go through and things that were put out there in public that were people's most personal and vulnerable moments. You, Alex, were a victim of this, and I want you to, as much as you're comfortable with, and you don't have to share everything, of course, but just to give our listeners an idea about what your personal experience was like.
All right. Thank you, Christine. Thank you for having me, and to WATD for having this important conversation, and also the stories that you guys have, you know, promoted with revenge porn legislation and trying to get it over the finish line here in Massachusetts. As you said, you know, I am a victim of a vengeful abuser and survivor of revenge porn. A number of years ago, I was dating someone, you know, and it was a very good, wonderful relationship. But as you know, some relationships happen, they fall off, and you know, you break up and you move on. About a month and a half later, after this relationship with someone that I loved and trusted, I received a message from a complete and utter stranger on Instagram late at night, and said, "I saw your face somewhere." And I said, "Well, what are you talking about? Like, I do theater. Maybe there was a theater mm-hmm. video or something, you know?" And it was a video of my partner and I, mm-hmm. My ex-partner, I should say. And I had never seen this before. Mm-hmm. And this was something that was taken without my consent. I did not know when this was being filmed. And the date was, the date that the video was then published was the day, conveniently, we broke up.
Oh my goodness.
And it was an effort to try to attack me, to try to embarrass me publicly, and really defame my character, to make me feel ashamed. And this was something that I didn't consent to, and definitely wouldn't have, and also something that I also didn't consent to put online. Mm-hmm. And I felt really an utter betrayal from my ex, who I call a vengeful abuser, mm-hmm. because that's exactly what my ex did, was mentally hurt me, and took me down a path where I felt worthless, I felt helpless, and that I nearly took my own life because of what my ex did.
It's such a, just for our listeners who might not be that familiar with what actually entails something like this, if they're not that familiar with social media, it's like taking a photograph of a person, again, in their most private and vulnerable moments with, you know, with a partner or without, and then disseminating that information so that it's available to anybody who wants to see it. It is such a betrayal. It's horrible.
100%. I felt, when I got that message on Instagram from a random stranger, mm-hmm. my whole world went black. I fell to the floor. I cried. It honestly, I couldn't imagine somebody that I used to love doing something that evil to me. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously, I tried reaching out to my ex when I eventually saw it, and my ex immediately blocked me. My ex thought it was funny and really wanted to see my life completely crumble, and that's why, you know, I consider my ex a vengeful abuser.
And I know that they have said that people, whether they suffer this type of abuse or physical abuse, the reaction and the physical manifestation of people and mental manifestation is the same.
Yes, 100%.
Now, you would think that a state like Massachusetts, which is pretty progressive with a lot of things about protecting people, would have a bill specifically against it. And I remember Charlie Baker, when he was governor with Lieutenant Governor Polito, had held a series of roundtable discussions, a number of which we covered, where people who were victims had shared their stories, and he tried to get this bill over the finish line, and it just never happened. But now it looks like there is a bill pending, and it looks like our own local state senator, John Keenan, has been instrumental in this. Tell me about this bill.
So I reached out to Senator Keenan last year about any kind of revenge porn legislation. And we really had a heart-to-heart conversation, and he continued to advocate force legislation like this on the Senate floor and saying, really pushing that we need to protect survivors of revenge porn. And then in January and February of this year, Senator John Keenan, who represents Abington that I represent, mm-hmm. He introduced his own bill, which was S-1012, advocating to criminalize revenge porn, making that, you know, non-consensual pornography, in order to defame somebody's character, destroy their life and reputation, both, you know, physically and economically. Senator Keenan has been a tremendous, tremendous advocate for this legislation, and has really given a voice to survivors and victims of revenge porn. Him and I, we did an interview in the summer with Kerry Cavanaugh with Boston 25 News, and, you know, to share my story and to share his efforts to holding vengeful abusers accountable. And it's, I can't thank him enough for really being a superhero on this, because, you know, 1 in 12 adults have fallen victim to revenge porn in Massachusetts. So if you go by our population, that's roughly nearly 600,000 people in Massachusetts have fallen victim to revenge porn.
Do you think people would be surprised to know that Massachusetts is just one of two states in the nation, Massachusetts and South Carolina, that don't have legislation against this? That surprised me.
For a state that was the first in the nation to grant same-sex marriage, and has always been an advocate for equal rights and protecting people, you know, we've fallen behind on this one, and protecting survivors of revenge porn. When this happened to me, you know, you were saying, Christine, that, you know, right now we're one of two states that don't have these laws in place. When this happened to me, we were one of 13. And a lot, I mean, I think we can and must do better in Massachusetts to be one of two for this kind of situation.
No, if this bill goes through and is made into law, it looks like if somebody were charged with this and with the crime of criminal harassment, I think it would up to 2.5 years in prison and or a $10,000 fine.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And then, you know, for a second or a reoccurring offense, it would be punishable with prison terms up to 10 years and the fine up to $15,000.
When you came forward and were public about this, and you got had a very good editorial in the Globe talking about this, and they actually quoted you because you had the guts to go and testify. And I give you a lot of credit for doing something that might be uncomfortable for many people. Did you have other people that reached out to you because they heard what you did and said, "I've been in your shoes"?
After I did my Fox off. After Senator Keenan and I did our interviews with Fox 25, the calls and texts were legitimately pouring in saying, this happened to me, this happened to me, my ex did this to me. Or I was hearing from people who said, yeah, I know that there's no laws in place protecting people, and it's disgusting, this is wrong. Thank you for speaking out. And the day that I went to testify before the Joint Committee on the Judiciary. Senator Keenan was there right by my side. And actually, Allison, my representative, Allison Sullivan Almeida, was also on the call as well. She's on that committee. And I was getting text messages from her, and she, you know, saying, I'm so proud of you and things. And she was actually one of the people when this happened to me. She wasn't a state rep yet, and she was a friend of mine
and she guided me through it.
Mm-hmm.
She was the first person I ever talked to, and she helped me, you know, sharing her experience of being a survivor of domestic violence, you know, and we really connected, and she gave me a lot of strength to talk to my father, who, frankly, if it weren't for my dad and the love and encouragement that he gave me, I know for a fact I would not be alive here today sitting with you. But no, I heard from a lot of survivors of this,
mm-hmm.
and it inspired me even more so to speak out, because for every person that does speak out, there are at least thousands who aren't, and people who are scared to do so.
Absolutely. Now, if people want to help make sure that this gets through the legislature, are you asking them to reach out to your local state senator, your local state rep? Because there is a House bill of this version, too, to try to do that. Is that something that you would encourage?
So right, so there was a House bill and there was a Senate bill that was mm-hmm. Senator Keenan's. Right now, there is one bill, H-4115, an act to prevent abuse and exploitation. It is so after the hearing at the Judiciary Committee, the Judiciary then combined the two bills to create this one bill, 4115, and they gave it favorable action and have now referred it to the House Ways and Means, where hopefully, fingers crossed, it gets a favorable action there.
Okay.
And then it will go to the Senate Ways and Means. Just looking on the state website for bills, if you Google H-4115, it lists what the language of the bill is, and it also lists all the sponsors, mm-hmm. Co-sponsors. It's a bipartisan support. There's a lot of state reps, a lot of state mm-hmm. senators. It gives me so much hope that this can go forward. But if people do want to get involved and just kind of want to inch, you know, their state rep or their
sure.
state senator, yes, absolutely. Reach out to your state senators and state reps and ask them to support 4115.
Now, on the personal level, if somebody is listening to this and thinking, this has happened to me or I know someone this has happened to, what do you recommend that their next steps be? They're not alone.
No, they're not alone. And, you know, when this happened to me, I felt worthless and helpless. But the thing is, when I know as hard as it is, don't feel that way, because there are so many people in this world that love you and support you. And I think, you know, it's important that you share that there's someone in your life that you love, that you trust, that you know you can talk to, like I did, that I had with Allison and with my dad, that I was able to talk to someone, talk about how I was feeling. Don't let those negative feelings stay inside you. You need to express and talk how you feel, so this is how you can get through it, so you can grieve through the process, and then you can, you know, have a better life. This terrible act does not control you. It doesn't deter the rest of your life if you let it. You have the opportunity to do things with your life. And actually, you know, I think, you know, when this happened to me, I thought my whole world was crashing in. And now, you know, I ran for office, and now I'm, you know, the chairman of the Abington Board of Selectmen. And I, you know, so I say to all survivors and victims out there that, you know, don't let your vengeful abuser win, because they can't and they won't. You need to, you know, believe in yourself, know that the good that's in your heart, and never give up, and if you want to, you know, share your story so you can help somebody else.
Is there a certain agency or department of people that you would say reach out to somebody if they thought, I don't know what to do, somebody to call, like some kind of a social working agency or a domestic violence group? Is there something like that?
I know there's definitely some, like, in my case, you know, I know different friends who have called, like, suicide hotlines,
mm-hmm.
And things like that. You know, if you're in school, if you're a child, you know, a
right.
child and stuff, reach out, talk to your guidance counselor, talk to someone that you can trust,
mm-hmm.
someone who you know you confide in, to help you get through this, because there are better days after this happens to you.
Well, I so appreciate you sharing your story with us here on WATD. Again, Alex Haggerty, an outspoken advocate for this bill for revenge porn. He was a victim of it. He came through it, and he used his powers for good to push this through, to hopefully this is going to make it to the finish line. We know you as the chairman of the Abington Board of Selectmen, so it seems like you're out there trying to do a lot of good in the community. We're going to put this interview up online, and we hope as this bill makes some progress, hopefully, and gets to the finish line, love to have you on again.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you very much again. That's Alex Haggerty. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.